Well, good morning again. We're glad you're joining us, and we're glad that there are a few special people in the house. One is Lauren. We're thankful that Lauren is here. So if you don't know, Lauren had a little episode. He decided he didn't want to drink as much water as the doctor told him, and but he's doing better now, and so we're glad that it was anything more serious. And I know I do not have an update on Rob and Cindy, but I know that he is just continuing to improve gradually, and he's still not able to walk because he was in ICU for so long, but he is making slow progress. Continue to pray for them. And with all the excitement about peanut butter and chocolate this morning, I was reminded that I forgot to make an announcement, and that is for the Super Summer Saturday, specifically July, but we could use help a lot in July, and we still need help for August as well. So please prayerfully consider giving up half your Saturday, 8 to noon, 9 to noon. You know, if you can't be here right at 8, we could still fit you in, but we need some help. It's a great opportunity for you to serve. If you have any questions, don't ask me. Lee Malucci and Bethany Smith will fill you in on where you can help, how you can help, and we could use you on those two Saturdays. So we are in a series called The Season of the Minors. We have been working through the Minor Prophets since January. We are in the book of Jonah this morning, and specifically Jonah chapter 4, so I encourage you to find that place in God's Word. But we are looking at all the books of the minor prophets in light of the do justly, love mercy, walk humbly. Do what God says is right. Be faithful like God is faithful. Live according to God's Word. Live according to God's expectations. So as I said, we are in Jonah, and we have seen several things from the first three chapters. But the most important thing is, what should the name or the word Jonah bring to mind? God. God, good. I've heard a few people. Jonah isn't about the fish. Jonah isn't even about Jonah. Jonah is about God. And God gave Jonah a mission in the first part of chapter 1. And Jonah had a choice, and Jonah chose to rebel. Jonah chose to rebel. He chose to run away, reject God's mission. He deliberately went west when God said east. He wanted to get as far away from God and God's plan. He went in the opposite direction, deliberately, intentionally rebelling and rejecting God's mission. So God pursued Jonah. God pursued Jonah, and he went as far as he needed to. He did whatever it took to get Jonah's attention, and it ultimately ended up Jonah in the whale or in the fish. And at that point, after 3 days there, Jonah finally pays attention. He finally says, I'm going to listen to God. And he began or took the first steps to get unstuck, to get out of the whale. And God gave Jonah grace. And God had the whale spit him up, not even in the ocean, but on dry land or on the beach. And then God gave grace to Nineveh. Jonah went and preached, and they repented. They responded God's word. Now think about this. If Jonah responded the way he did in chapter 3 as he did in chapter 1, Jonah would be one chapter long. It would be like the book of Obadiah. But even if Jonah decided, well, I'm going to do chapter 1 and we get to chapter 3, there shouldn't be a chapter 4, but there is. You ever wondered why there's four chapters in the book of Jonah? Because God sent him on a mission. He fulfilled the mission. Nineveh repented. Why are there four chapters? It should have ended in chapter 3. But think back. In chapter 2, Jonah's in the fish, and he started to get unstuck. He started. He never finished. He never finished. And we saw last week the fact that God gave Jonah grace. God gave Nineveh grace. Jonah is about God. It's also about God's grace. Some people would say the book of Jonah is about compassion. I'm not going to argue that point, but what I want to do is recognize that there's a key idea here from Palmer Robertson in his commentary on chapter 4 of Jonah. He says, the book of Jonah may be summarized in one word, compassion. The centrality of compassion does not become explicit until this, the last chapter. But that is the way a good story often unfolds. Often the best teaching is done by contrast. You appreciate the speed of an Olympic runner when you see him or her leave the pack behind. You see the greatness of God's compassion or grace to Nineveh when you set it beside Jonah's reaction. God's compassion, Jonah's lack of it, God's grace. Jonah expecting and wanting and demanding God's grace for himself, but not willing to give it to others. He had a Romans 6:1 view of grace. A key takeaway from Jonah. A critical application. If you hear nothing else, don't be like Jonah in the book. Don't be like Jonah in the book. Don't do what he did. Don't respond like he did. Don't worry, Pastor Ryan. I'm all right. I got this. I'm not like Jonah. I'm not going to end up in some fish somewhere. I'm not going to, and if I do, it's not going to take me 3 days to get out. I'm smarter than that. The problem is there's a lot of Jonah in all of us. There's a lot of Jonah in all of us, more than we'd ever like to admit. And the nation of Israel, the Jewish people actually realized so much so that while they were in Babylon, they began the tradition of reading Jonah aloud on Yom Kippur. Well, you may not know what Yom Kippur is. It is the Day of Atonement, the day when the high priest was supposed to go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle blood on the mercy seat, on the top of the Ark of the Covenant, for the forgiveness of all the sins of the nation. And before he did that, he was supposed to name the sins of the nation. But they didn't just read it. They publicly and verbally responded to it. At the end of the reading, they would say, "I am Jonah," or "We are Jonah." With that in mind, turn to Jonah chapter 4 if you're not there, and we're going to start in verse 1. At the end of the repentance of Nineveh and God relenting, here's what Jonah has to say and think. "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said," now there's two ways you can read Jonah's prayer. You can read it as complaining, but what did he just describe? How is Jonah feeling right at this moment? He is angry. So I'm going to try to read it angry Jonah style, okay? Here we go. "Ah, Lord, was this not what I said to you when I was still in my country? Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, Lord, please take my life from me. It is better for me to die than to live." Jonah is not a happy camper. He is angry. Miraculously, God speaks to him. "Then the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city, sat on the east side of the city, and made himself a shelter and sat under it till he see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant, and it made it come up over Jonah that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery." So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. He was very angry. Now he's very grateful. He was very grateful for the plant. "But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm so that it damaged the plant that it withered. And as it happened, when the sun arose, God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he grew faint, and then he wished for death. He said to himself, 'It is better for me to die than to live.' Then God said, 'Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?' And he said, 'It is right for me to be angry, even to death.' But the Lord said, 'You have pity on the plant, for which you have not labored nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. Should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right and their left, and much livestock?'" This morning, I want to see or show you or look at six reflections of ourselves in Jonah. Six reflections. So we want to look in God's Word as a mirror, and we want to see ourselves in the book of Jonah, specifically chapter 4. Before we go any farther, let's pray and ask God to help us see clearly in that mirror. Father, as we open up your Word and see, we are much, much, much more like Jonah than we'd ever want to admit. But if we're honest with ourselves, we do know it. We know how bad we are. We know that we think and act like Jonah more often than maybe other people know. Lord, convict us this morning. Confront us with our sin. Encourage us with the fact that you continued to give Jonah grace, even when he was angry and bitter, even when he talked back to you and rebelled against you, even after all you had done for him. Lord, help us see ourselves, but most importantly, help us to respond. Help us to take steps in light of Jonah's negative example to walk away from where we are to where we should be, to change, to grow, to be more like you, more like your Son. Lord, as people here this morning, online, in person, or even recorded later on this week, help them to hear you speaking through me. Help me not to be a distraction. Help me not to hinder what you're doing here this morning. Lord, we ask that the technology would work well, that it would be another useful implement, useful tool in your hands to communicate your truth and your word clearly. We thank you for this. We thank you for the celebration today of Father's Day and for the fathers that you have given us. And for those of us who are fathers, may we be reminded from Jonah where we need to grow and change. We thank you for this in your Son's name. Amen. So we're going to look at six reflections of ourselves in the book of Jonah, specifically Jonah chapter 4. The first one is, I am angry when I do not get my way. I'm angry when I do not get my way. Look at verse 4, or we're going to start in verse 1, jump to verse 4, and then verse 9. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So what displeased him? What displeased him was the fact that verse 10, God saw their works, talking about Nineveh, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented. So God gave Nineveh grace, and that's Jonah's issue. He is angry. Verse 4, then the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? And then verse 9, God said to Jonah again, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Jonah was angry. He was angry because God did what he did. He's angry because he did not get his way. God brought him to the point where he had no other options. Okay, that's why he's in Nineveh. Rebellion is abandoned against our wishes and only because the alternative is worse. Jonah didn't want to be stuck in the fish and he didn't want to be digested. So he had no options. So he abandoned his rebellion, but he only started. He only started to get unstuck. He obeyed externally. Remember, he went to Nineveh and we have one sentence of the message he preached. God's primary purpose in sending Jonah or any prophet was to offer grace. That's why God sent Jonah to Nineveh and Jonah knew it. But God had a second purpose. Jonah wasn't too thrilled about this purpose either. Here's the purpose. Jonah needed Nineveh as much as Nineveh needed Jonah. Jonah needed Nineveh as much as Nineveh needed Jonah. The book of Jonah ends with him being confronted about his rebellion, his attitude, his sin, his heart, his bitterness, his anger, even his hatred. Jonah was angry. He was bitter. He didn't want Nineveh to have grace. He wanted them to suffer. He wanted them to suffer, to be punished. He wanted to take revenge for all the things that they had done. This is how I picture Jonah. Every step from where he got spit up to Nineveh, probably more than 500 miles, this is what he is doing. He is fuming, he is stewing, he is muttering to himself, this isn't fair. This isn't right. They don't deserve grace. They don't deserve a chance to repent. This isn't fair. This isn't right. They don't deserve grace. They don't deserve a chance to repent. This isn't fair. This isn't right. For 500 miles, Jonah is thinking and muttering those things to himself. That's the Pastor Brian version of what's not in the Bible. But that's my perspective. Why was Jonah angry? Why did he act this way? So I know that some of you have seen this, but I want to make a point. So I'm going to try not to get this on my iPad. So if I do this, why does water come out? Because I shook it, right? No. Why doesn't coffee come out? Or soda? There's water in here. That's why it comes out. It reveals what's inside. That's what Jonah's experience with God telling him to go to Nineveh and all that's happened is revealing what's inside. People or circumstances do not cause us to be the way we are. The events in Jonah's life didn't cause him to be the way he was. They revealed the way he was. People or circumstances do not cause us to be the way that we are. They simply reveal the way we are. The circumstances revealed what was in Jonah's heart, just like shaking the water bottle reveals what's inside. That's what's in there. It's not the shaking, it's the fact that there's water in there. Being sent to Nineveh revealed his heart. He didn't believe Ninevites or other people probably. He didn't believe there are people that deserve God's grace and people who didn't. And God gave it to the wrong people. He didn't get his way. What happens when you don't get your way? What happens when God doesn't do what you want, what you think he should or you think's right? What happens when God doesn't take your advice, listen to your wisdom, and get on board with your plan? Is there something you are angry about this morning? What is it? Where, like Jonah, may you be angry with God? Do other people see it in what you do and what you say? Do you need to admit, I am angry? I am Jonah. I am Jonah. I am arrogant. Look at verse 2. Verse 2. So he prayed to the Lord, talking about Jonah, and said, Ah, Lord God, was this not what I said to you when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are gracious and merciful, God, slow to anger, abundant in love and kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Jonah didn't think Nineveh deserved God's grace. He was arrogant. In his opinion, they were too bad. They were too evil, too sinful. They weren't good enough to get God's grace. They didn't deserve God's grace. They weren't worthy of it or entitled to it. We expect God to give grace and mercy to us, but we don't expect him or don't want him to give it to others. We expect him to give it to us, but we don't want him to give it to anybody else. Jonah says, I don't think they deserve it. I don't think they should get grace. They don't meet my standard. Only the people I approve of that I think are worthy should get God's grace. Did you hear that? Did you hear what Jonah thinks? Do you understand what he's saying? Do you see the problem? Grace is getting what you don't deserve and haven't earned. And he says no one's worthy. No one is good enough for God's grace. No one is entitled to it. That's why it's grace. No one is good enough. No one is entitled to grace. That's why it's grace. But Jonah was judging others based on his standards, his criteria, his wisdom and opinion, not God's. That's why Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, by judging others, we blind ourselves to our own evil and to the grace which others are just as entitled to as we are. What standard do you evaluate yourself by? What standard do you evaluate others by? Are you arrogant like Jonah and think, my standard is the only one? My standard is the right one. My preferences, my interpretation, my opinion is always and only the right one. If others don't measure up to me and my standard, they're wrong. They're less spiritual. They're less mature. They are unworthy. They are not entitled to or deserving of God's grace or my grace. Now, it's bad enough to see ourselves superior to other Christians. It's even worse when we apply it to people who are unbelievers. Do you need to admit, I am arrogant? I am Jonah. I am Jonah. I isolate myself. Look at verse 5. Jonah went out of the city, sat on the east side of the city. Then he made himself a shelter and sat under the shade till he might see what would become of the city. So here's Jonah. He is sitting outside the city with his popcorn and waiting for the show. He's waiting for the show. I want to see Nineveh reduced to rubble. I want to see the fire and brimstone. I want to see the fireworks. But he also goes out there to pout, to sulk, to be petulant. We don't know when he went out. He said 3 days around the city. Did he go out on day 4 or was it on day 39 or 40? But there he is. He's out there. He's alone. He is not happy. He isolates himself. Jonah does what he wants to do the most, but what is the worst thing you can ever do? Because isolating yourself will never solve a problem. In fact, isolating yourself is the worst way to ever solve a problem. Because Jonah is alone. He's only hearing from Jonah, the one who keeps telling himself how bad things are, how wrong God is, how the Ninevites don't deserve God's grace, how unfair his life is, how God is wrong and he is right. When things get hard, do you do the worst thing you could do? Do you isolate yourself? Hide, avoid people, hold them at arm's length, push them away? Do Do you sit on the sidelines? Are you just simply a spectator? When life gets hard, when challenges and difficulties come, do you want to know how to make it through? Do you want to know how to weather the storm? Do you want to know how to survive? Not just survive, but thrive. When life is hard, do you want to survive or do you want to thrive? We all want to thrive, right? That's normal human nature. If you want to thrive, don't isolate yourself, because then God's principles can't be applied to your life. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If no one knows your suffering, how can they help you? How can they encourage you? Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. How can someone encourage you and push you and challenge you if they're not around you because you have isolated yourself? This is the number one challenge for anybody who's in full-time ministry, is to watch people who say they know God, love Christ, and they come into a problem and they just separate. And then they fall deeper and deeper into their problem because they're only hearing from themselves. If you want to thrive, don't isolate yourself. If you want to thrive, don't just listen to yourself. Listen to God. Be in fellowship. Don't wait for someone to notice that you're having a problem. Don't wait for someone to ask. Go ask them. Tell them, I need help. I want to isolate myself because of this problem. I need your help. Do you need to admit this morning, I am Jonah. I am isolating myself from others. I am Jonah. I only care about me. I only care about me. Pick up in verse 6. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up for Jonah that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful, or exceedingly grateful, for the plant. Okay, Jonah is happy about the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, so it damaged the plant and it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat down on Jonah's head and grew faint. And then he wished for death for himself and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Drop down to verse 11. And should it be that I should not pity Nineveh, God speaking, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock? Jonah didn't care about Nineveh. God even confronts him about all the animals. He's not even compassionate about the animals. But he was very, very, exceedingly, greatly happy, overjoyed, delirious about the plant. But he didn't care about the plant. He only cared about the plant because it made his life better. It gave him shade. It was more comfortable. It was easier. So God sends a worm to kill the plant. Then he makes it hot and windy. God created a teachable moment to confront Jonah with the fact of what his heart issue was. An opportunity for Jonah to see just how selfish and self-centered he was. But Jonah isn't in a teachable mood. He's not teachable yet. He just gets angrier, greatly angry. He was greatly excited about the plant. Now he's greatly angry that God took the plant away. He's angry because his life is worse. It's less comfortable. It's harder. Jonah didn't care about animals, let alone people or the plant. Jonah cared about three people and only three people, me, myself, and I. Here's Jonah's thought process. Do you know what I deserve? Don't you know what I have earned? Don't you know what you owe me, God? What you owe me? What I should get? What I should be given? What I should have? Don't you know, God, how right I am? Sound like you? Are you like Jonah this morning? You only care about you, yourself, and I? Not anyone else? You only care about what you want, what makes your life better, easier, and happier? When things don't go your way, do you get angry? Do you get angry when life isn't smooth and easy, when other people get in the way, mess up your plans, cause problems? Do you need to admit, I only care about me? I'm Jonah. I am Jonah. I would rather die. I would rather die. Go back to verse 3, and then we'll jump to verse 9. Verse 3. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me. It is better for me to die than to live. Verse 9, then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And Jonah said, it is right for me to be angry, even to death. Jonah is so selfish, so self-centered, so self-absorbed. Jonah only cares about Jonah, only cares about what he wants and what he deserves and what he didn't get. So he throws himself a little pity party. He's the victim. He's been wronged. He's been, what he wanted didn't happen. What he thinks he deserved, he didn't get. Jonah has forgotten all the things God has done for them. You realize that God didn't have to send the storm. He could have just eliminated Jonah. God didn't have to send the fish. He could have just eliminated Jonah. He didn't have to give him a second chance to go and respond and go to Nineveh, but he did. Jonah forgets all the blessings he's been given, all the grace and mercy he's been given, because he didn't get his way. Are you so focused on what God hasn't done for you, you forget all that he has? Are you so focused on what God hasn't done for you, or that what he hasn't done for you, is that what you're focused on, or forget what he has done for you? Jonah didn't just think it or act it. He actually tells God, shaking his fist at God, says, I want to die. This is not because Jonah's discouraged, or he's depressed, or he's defeated, or he's deathly ill and he's suffering. It's because he is angry. He is selfish. He didn't get what he wanted. He didn't get his way. God, you didn't do what I think is right, so I want to die. In our terms, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. If you're not going to do what I want to do, the way I want to do it, I'm taking my ball and going home. I want to die. When you don't get your way, when you don't get what you want, do you pout and sulk and get angry? Do you take your ball and go home? Do you lash out at others? Maybe you lash out at God. Maybe you don't lash out and shake your fist at God, but you think it. You blame God. You have the same thoughts, the same feelings, the same attitude that Jonah did toward God and about God. Do you need to admit this morning, if I can't get my way, I'd rather die? If I can't get my way, I will take my ball and go home. I am Jonah. I am Jonah. I refuse to listen. I refuse to listen. Jonah is angry. He is alone. He has isolated himself from everyone and everything. No one is going to tell Jonah he is wrong. His thinking is wrong. His attitude is wrong. His actions are wrong. They are unbiblical. They are out of line. No one is going to tell him, you are sinning. He made sure. No one can speak the truth in love to him because he is alone. No one can point out God's word to him. And even if they did, even if they tried, I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to listen. I won't admit I'm wrong. I won't admit that my thoughts and my opinions and attitudes and actions are sinful. Jonah has isolated himself. He has made sure he doesn't have to hear the truth. No one is going to speak to him. He doesn't have to hear God's word. He doesn't hear the fact that you are wrong according to God's word. You are out of line. You are in sin. But God, verse 4, God steps in and speaks directly to him. Then the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? Verse 9, God speaks to him again. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? Verse 10, you have pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. Should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right and their left hand, and much livestock? God speaks directly to Jonah. He can't get away from it. He makes sure that Jonah hears the truth. He is confronted by what God says, what God thinks and what God wants, versus what Jonah thinks, what Jonah wants, and what Jonah feels. This morning, are you, like Jonah, refusing to listen? You're stubbornly ignoring what God is telling you through his word, through other people, through his Holy Spirit, through your conscience. Like Jonah, are you wrong? Are you sinning and out of line? And you know it. Your attitude and your desires, who or what you care about is out of whack. Your priorities are out of whack. You care about what's wrong, not what's right. Your anger, your selfishness, your response and your reactions, your lack of gratitude. You are wrong. Do you need to admit this morning, I refuse to listen. I am Jonah. What's Jonah's problem anyway? What is the issue with this guy? Why is he so angry? All he did is go and preach the shortest message in history, and an entire town repented and turned away from sin. How can that not be the best thing ever? As a pastor, I would love that. But Jonah has issues. Look at verses 2 and 3. I'm not going to read him angry this time. So he prayed to the Lord and said, Ah, Lord, was this not what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Jonah's problem is God gave someone grace, and he didn't like who he gave it to. Because, ultimately, I am Jonah, I want to be God. Wanting to be God, what got Lucifer thrown out of heaven? Wanting to be God, what got Adam and Eve thrown out of the Garden of Eden? That what the parable of the tenants or vine dressers in Luke 20 is about. Jonah had the same desire, he had the same problem. He looked at what God was doing and not doing, when he was doing it, how he was doing it, and basically said, let's have a chat, God. Let me explain to you what you're doing wrong here. This is how it is. This is what you should have done. This is where you messed up. You blew it. You did it wrong. You did it all wrong, God. This is what you should have done. This is how you should have done it. Here's what is the right way to do it. Basically, Jonah says, if I were God, this is what I would have done. Do you think about this? Do you think this way? It's okay to question God and ask him, you know, why did you do something? That is not inappropriate. But when you say or think, God, not why, but you messed up. You did what was wrong. I know better. You did it. You did something that I would never have done. I know what's best, and you didn't pick that. Here's what you should have done, God. Here's what I would have done if I were God. Do you need to admit this morning, I want to be God? I am Jonah. I want to be God. I am Jonah. Now, if you go to the last verse of the book of Jonah, do you read it and go, what happened? The last words we have are God confronting Jonah about the fact that he doesn't care about the people, he doesn't even care about the livestock. And that's it. I'm going to share a story. I quoted Ron Barris, and if you were around here a couple years ago, he spoke when I was installed as pastor. He was Andrea and I's first pastor right after we were married. And his testimony is, he was 18, he walked onto a college campus as an alcoholic and didn't know anything about God. He met a couple of guys who witnessed to him, and he finally came to Christ. And so they said, as they were discipling him, you need to read through the entire Bible. So he says, when I got to Jonah, in Jonah chapter 4, he goes, I went and found them and said, my Bible has stuff missing. He goes, what happened to Jonah? Now we laugh at that. But have you ever thought about the fact that we don't know what happened to Jonah? We left him sitting there angry at God, God speaking to him, and he's outside of Nineveh. How long did he sit there? What did he do after he decided he was going to leave? Outside of one reference in the Old Testament as Jonah being a prophet, God's word says very little about him. Jesus actually says the most. He specifically talks about him being a real person, not a parable or a fairy tale, and that what happened to him, he was actually in the fish. Jonah ends with Jonah being confronted by God, confronted about his sin, and that's it. That's all we know. So what happened to Jonah? Did he learn? He was Jonah, so what happened to him? How did we get the book? Okay, here's Pastor Brian's interpretation. This is what I think happened. I believe it. Eventually he went home. And eventually, he dealt with his sin. He truly biblically repented. He got right with God. And once that happened, God said, you need to write this down. You need to share your story. You need to record your story. Not to make yourself look good, Jonah, but to make the book about God. To show how undeserving you were, but how good I am. How gracious and loving and merciful I am to you and to Nineveh. do you share your story like Jonah? Do you share your story like Jonah? Not just where you did well, not where you just had success and victory, but where you failed, where you struggled, your battles, your losses, your sin. Sharing your story so that, like Jonah, it's about God. It highlights God. It highlights his grace and mercy. He is the focus. He is the hero of the story, not you. When is the last time you shared your story, Jonah style, made it about God? Who did you share it with? Do you need to admit this morning, I need to share my real story, unedited, unfiltered, and make it about God, how good he is, so that others can learn from it like I learned this morning from Jonah. I am Jonah. There's a lot of Jonah in all of us. Jonah needed Nineveh as much as Nineveh needed Jonah. I am angry when I don't get my way. My rebellion is abandoned only because the alternative is worth. People and circumstances do not cause me to be the way I am. They simply reveal the way I am. What happens when you don't get your way? When God doesn't do what you want, think he should, or doesn't get on your program? Are you Jonah? Are you angry? I am arrogant. I expect God to give me mercy and grace, but not others. No one is good enough for God's grace. No one is entitled to it. That's why it's grace. Do you think me, myself and I, my standards, my preferences are the ones that are right? If others don't measure up, they're in the wrong. They're less spiritual. They're less mature. This morning, are you arrogant? Are you Jonah? I isolate myself. Isolating yourself is the worst way to solve a problem. When things get hard, what do? Do you isolate, avoid, push people away, hold them at arm's length? This morning, are you isolating yourself? Have you isolated yourself? Are you Jonah? I only care about me, me, me. Me, myself, and I. What I want, what would make my life better, easier, happier. And I get angry when I don't get what I want, what I think I deserve, when God doesn't do life my way. This morning, do you only care about you, yourself, and I? Are you Jonah? I would rather die. I'm going to take my ball and go home. I'm so focused on what I haven't been given, I forget everything I have been given. I don't just pout. I don't just sulk and get angry. I take my ball and go home. I lash out at others and at God. I would rather die. Is that where you're at this morning? You would rather die. You would rather take your ball and go home. You are Jonah. I refuse to listen. I'm stubbornly ignoring all the ways, people, and circumstances God is speaking to me through. But he continues to do it. I continue to plug my ears. I don't listen. I continue to ignore other people, the Holy Spirit, my conscience. Are you refusing to listen this morning? Do you need to admit, I am Jonah? I want to be God. I think, I may even tell God, you blew it. You got it wrong. This is what you should have done. I know better. This is what's best. Do you need to admit this morning, I want to be God. I am Jonah. Do you need to share your story? Like Jonah, your sins, your struggles, not your successes only. I need to share my story, make it about God, make it about his grace, his mercy, make him the hero and the focus. When is the last time you shared it? Who heard? Who learned from it? How do you need to respond to what you've heard this morning from chapter 4? What has God spoken to you about? Where has he shown you? You are Jonah. Are you going to be a doer and learn from Jonah's story? Are you going to then share your story, make it about God? Or are you just going to be a hearer this morning? If you can say, and we all can, I am Jonah, the question I'm going to leave with you is this. Are you Jonah in the book, or are you I am Jonah who wrote the book? I am Jonah, you are Jonah, we are Jonah, but which Jonah? The Jonah in the book or the Jonah who wrote the book? Let's pray. Father, we are so much like Jonah. Even the people sitting beside us might not know how much we are like him, but you do, and we do. Lord, as you have spoken to individuals this morning, you have challenged them with where they are struggling, where they are like Jonah, in ways they don't want to admit, and maybe ways that no one or very few people know. May we respond to this morning. May we move from being Jonah in the book to Jonah who wrote the book. May we be willing to share our story in ways that glorify you, ways that build you up, make you great, and show the undeserving nature of who we are and the fact that it's only because of you and only because of your grace. May you be the hero of our story. May you be the focus of our story and not ourselves. Lord, for those that are still wrestling with you this morning, I ask you not to let up. I ask you to continue to pursue, put pressure on them, and get them to the point where they truly repent like Jonah. The Jonah we didn't see, but the Jonah who wrote the book. We thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. The song is more of a prayer, and that's where you may need to start this morning. If you are Jonah, if God has shown you in this area of your life you are Jonah, start with praying. Then start with getting into his word. Start with then asking someone for help. Have them hold you accountable so that you can grow and walk in him. And then it's your turn to help someone else, because that's the way it works. Have a great afternoon. Pursue tonight at 5:30, 6 p.m. Proverbs chapter 1, the evening service. We'll see you tonight.